Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 10, which says, "Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now, as we've been looking at this passage, and looking at what the Apostle Paul is saying to these saints in Thessalonica, talking about him, Silas, and Timothy coming unto them. We looked last time at this issue of the perfect and what that actually means. And now that we understand the issue of this perfection that he's trying to get to them, of how it's going to make them in this way of having this complete knowledge that they need, we see why he's saying the thing of where this verse ends, which says, "that which is lacking in your faith." Now, that's an interesting thought process to actually be saying about these saints, about that there's some things lacking in them, because when we studied in chapter number 2, and we saw the description of how he said that they were functioning, we saw in verse number 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And he discussed this issue of how these saints in Thessalonica were taking everything that he was saying, looking at it as that this is the word of God being given unto them. They were applying it unto their life, and it was making the necessary changes in who they are as the members of the body of Christ. And yet he's saying that there's something even in this that might still be lacking in their faith. And this can be said because no matter how much somebody is taking the things of the Word of God and doing everything that the Apostle Paul has instructed related to this, there is nobody who has that knowledge of everything that the Word of God actually says. Now, Paul gives us the information of how it is that we get this perfection going on. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to see him. We looked at this a little bit last time of this issue of that Paul gives us the information about how to study the Word of God when he says in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That this idea, this instruction of giving us that we have to study the Word of God and be doing it as a workman, that it's a work that comes upon us that we have to do to be able to take all this in. This is that responsibility that we have. And when it says rightly divide, we understand what that means of how we're taking the information that directly applies to us. And yes, there are all the Word of God is inspired and all of it is profitable, but there's only certain parts that are written directly to us. That's the books of Romans through Philemon. And by the fact that we know that these are the things that are given directly to us and that we're applying those things, we're getting that knowledge. And this is the information that we have to be truly making sure that is being fully applied to who we are. And this is the information that even the Apostle Paul was talking about these saints is saying that they were lacking in some of that knowledge. Now, we looked also last time at Romans chapter number 12 in the first two verses, talking about that process that goes on. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we take the word of God rightly divided in, the result of it is that we have this transformation that occurs, that the word of God actually starts to work in us, producing this renewing of the mind, getting us away from this issue of being conformed to this world. Because all, and we've talked about this so many times, about how all of the things of the world are designed to keep an individual away from the truth of God's word rightly divided. Now, Paul describes this process and how this transformation, how this renewing of the mind actually occurs. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we're going to read a passage here that's going to describe something that happens to a member of the body of Christ. This can only happen to an individual who has put their trust in the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And a person who's put their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. This process can only happen to those individuals. The problem that so many have is that they think that they can take in the things of the Word of God and have it apply to them without that having happened, without having the salvation, without having, and we're going to see as we read through this passage, that the Spirit needs to be in an individual in order for this whole process to be able to happen. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. Says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now there's a lot here that the Apostle Paul says about how this information is being taken in. And he starts with this whole issue in the first part of this passage, dealing with this comparison between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God, and how the wisdom of man, which is the wisdom of this world, has no comparison to the things of God. And even the wisdom, even that knowledge that Satan is able to apply based on the understanding that he has of the things of Scripture, which, you know, he has a greater knowledge of these things, that he didn't understand what was going to occur. There's, you know, talking about the mystery program that had been laid out, the things in Romans through Philemon. But then you see how Paul lays out and talks about this knowledge that occurs as a person is taking in the Word of God rightly divided, and it's the Spirit that is able to teach the spirit of a man. That's why we just laid out that issue of how an individual has to have salvation first for this to happen, because they have to have the Spirit in them in order for this whole process to actually occur. And that's why it talks about how it's the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why we are studying the Word of God rightly divided as a workman, to be able to take this information in, so that way there are the spiritual things, so the Holy Ghost can compare that spiritual with spiritual, so we have that increase of knowledge that God intends for us to have. And this is a continual process that occurs in the life of a believer. It doesn't just happen for a short period of time and then we can stop and we consider it to be good. This is going to be a lifelong process. And the reality of things is, we're never going to come to that perfection of that knowledge, because we have the limitations of the human mind. We have the mind of Christ, the completed Word of God, so we have access to all those things. We have access to that knowledge, and that we can continuously have that growth. But we can't come to that full, complete knowledge until we are in the heavenly places, ruling and reigning with Him for all of eternity. That's what's going to finally give us that full knowledge of all of those things. What our goal is to keep having this advancement of further knowledge and further knowledge and further knowledge, so that way we come closer and closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ that is intended for us to be at. And that's what Paul, as he's hoping to be able to get to these saints, to be able to see them again, is that he wants to help them continue in this process, to actually, can, you know, get them to where God wants them to be. This is a process that all members of the body of Christ should be wanting to have. That's why the will of God is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That it's not just enough that a person is saved. God wants the individual to come unto this knowledge. God wants the believer to have this perfecting that he's talking about related to what the Word of God actually says. The end result of this, and I called it end result, but it's again part of this process that's going on, is over here in Ephesians chapter number 4 in verse number 14, which says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, an individual, when they first have salvation, the reality of things is because they don't have that doctrinal knowledge in them, is that they can be pulled in almost any direction related to something that a person's going to lay out. So if a person is laying out the truth of God's word rightly divided, they're carried that way. But if somebody's laying out something that runs contrary to what God is actually doing during this dispensation, they're pulled in that direction. As a person is studying things out, there's less and less chance that a person's going to be tossed to and fro and being carried about with every wind of doctrine. The problem for so many individuals is that there's really a, when you look at Christianity as a whole, that the truth of God's word rightly divided is very hard to come about compared with everything else that's being taught. You know, if you turn on Christian television and start watching, you know, various programs that are on, you know, there's not many programs at all that are going to teach sound doctrine. If you turn on Christian radio, again, you can listen to a whole bunch of programs on Christian radio, and the reality is that the majority of them do not contain sound doctrine. If you go into a Christian bookstore and start looking at the books that are there, the majority of them do not contain sound doctrine. So a person who is fresh into being saved and says, I need to grow in knowledge, I need to become the person that God wants me to be, that if they just go along and watch, you know, what's out there on Christian television, listen to Christian radio, and go to the bookstore and buy all the popular books that are out there, they're just going to be tossed to and fro. They'll be carried with every wind of doctrine, and they're not going to come unto the knowledge of the truth. A person, in order to find those things of finding the sound doctrine, is they have to really be going out and searching for it, because it is so hard to find. And the place where they can find it really needs to start with the local assembly. Finding a place to where individuals who are members of the body of Christ are coming together to study the Word of God and to build each other up as the members of the body of Christ. Now, that's a big part of why it is that we should be assembling together, coming together as the members of the body of Christ, is that way we can have that impact on each other, being able to help people get to that knowledge that God really wants us to get to. You know, God doesn't want us to be, you know, ignorant of what His Word says. God doesn't want us to be, as Paul called the assembly at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, called them babes. And so that he had to keep feeding them the milk, the basics of things, because they couldn't understand the more advanced things. And even is including the fact that what he's writing to them at that point in 1 Corinthians is still that milk, because they're nowhere near having those advanced things ready for themselves to be taking in, because they wouldn't be able to handle that because they don't have the basics down. Now, let's turn over to Philippians chapter number 4, because as we're talking about this thing of what Paul's hoping to be able to do with them, I want to read here verse number 19 of Philippians chapter number 4, which says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, God supplies all of the things that we need. Now, when people hear this, they think of, well, you're talking about those physical needs. That God's going to supply the food that I need. God's going to supply, you know, my shelter. He's going to supply a new car. He's going to supply all these things. That's not what the Apostle Paul is actually speaking about when he's talking about this thing of all our need. He's not talking about the physical things here, because if we go up to here earlier in the chapter, let's pick up in verse 12 when it says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And those all things that Paul's describing here is the issue of that he can be able to get through all of those situations because he's receiving strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's continuing on, this issue of our need is related to these things of being able to get through what we need to. It's supplying the information that's contained in Romans through Philemon, and that we can be able to apply to our lives in order to be able to get through those things. You know, it ties in with that issue of the prayer of that we pray for all things. God gives us the comfort in this, that way we don't have to have that worry that individuals seem to have, because the world system is set up to really try to generate this worry from individuals. You know, it doesn't take very long watching the news to see that. You know, one of the stations here in the Buffalo area, you know, they have this whole mantra that they're saying related to this coronavirus thing of facts, not fear. And yet everything that they're saying is designed to generate fear in the individual rather than just laying out, here are the facts. And people watch this and they start to get worried and anxious and think of that, you know, everything's going wrong. And yet God provides the comfort in all these things. God provides for us what we need in order to be able to get through all of these things and be able to function as that ambassador for Christ, carrying out this ministry of reconciliation, preaching this message to this lost world. Now, we're going to continue on some of these things during our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our studies, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.